Hi, friend. My name is Amy Joy, and this is the Make Prayer Beautiful podcast. Bill Johnson of Bethel Church in Redding, California, talks about the importance of remembering our testimonies. So he teaches this out of, I think it's Mark 8, where the disciples were asking Jesus questions, and he was like, I just fed the 5,000. Like, you think I don't know how to provide bread for you? And that the testimony, their life experience, had not actually transformed their thinking. And so at Bethel Redding, they have, my understanding is, a full-time person whose job it is to capture the miracles of the Lord that happen in their healing rooms and throughout their congregation, partially as a way of just saying, we need the testimonies to encourage ourselves. So Bob and I wrote a book about testimonies. We call it Spiritual Dynamite. You can get it on Amazon and it's helpful. But the main point of this for me is an example of my own life where I needed to see a testimony in order to feel like I had any hope of achieving some kind of success in prayer or even just like a little bit of faith. So my son, Abraham, sustained a bad fall in judo. So an inexperienced person, he was sparring with that guy, and the guy dropped him in a way that my son was not expecting and had no defense. And so the young man who runs the dojo tried to help, you know, just check it out a little bit, said he didn't think it was broken. I didn't even realize that it was badly injured. When he came in, he was like, Mom, what do you use for bruising or something? And anyway, I know arnica for bruising, but it wasn't until the next evening, Friday evening, that I realized, no, he doesn't actually have use of his arm. Like, it's just kind of dangling there. So I did some research, and torn rotator cuff seemed like the most likely option. And so we got him into a chiropractor because my husband had talked to the chiropractor some months before about how if you have a torn rotator cuff, most people go in for surgery, but that's really not a great option because your shoulder, I didn't realize this, but your shoulder has a pretty small bone and a whole lot of muscles and ligaments and such. And so to do surgery, you're just cutting through all of those intact fibers and then you have to sew them up again. And so my husband was like, we are not doing surgery for rotator cuff things. No, not interested. So we got to the chiropractor and he did an examination and tested range of motion. And there was a part where I was like, his arm should not look like it does. I mean, there was this little niggling thought for me in retrospect that it was like, something is still not right. But on the other hand, I don't look at these kinds of injuries often. So I was thinking maybe his shoulder is still, like maybe it's out. And so I was really thankful that didn't happen. But the chiropractor did not take an x-ray. And so a week later, our third visit, my son had gotten amazing range of motion back. He had been doing his exercises really faithfully. But Sunday night to Monday morning, he woke up in the middle of the night with pain. And as soon as I said that to the chiropractor, his face fell and he said, we're taking an x-ray right now. And it turns out my son had a compound fracture of the clavicle. And when he found out, he was like, I'm about to throw up or I might pass out. And he said later he was just in the shock of learning that, but the feeling passed. But in that moment, I was trying to make an appointment for him to go and see an orthopedist, and I thought, I can't wait until Friday or even Tuesday. I mean, my son is like about to pass out, and I was thinking it was from pain, not just from the shock of the news. So I ended up taking him to the ER. The ER did absolutely nothing that we wouldn't have already done other than, I mean, they gave us the exact same number as what the chiropractor had tried to help us set up. And so I went to bed Monday night and we hadn't gotten an appointment for the orthopedist, which I could have gotten for Tuesday if I had just stayed on the line with the chiropractor and not tried to go to the ER doing this kind of heroic thing. By the way, it's not actually an emergency if it's happened 11 days before. So just FYI, the things that you don't know as a parent and you do the best you can. So I sent an email to the women who pray for me, and I sent it to my mom too, just to give her a heads up. And she wrote back this really beautiful story where it's kind of one of those family tales that you tell, where there was about a month and a half period in my childhood, a very unique month and a half. I was at youth group and sustained a bad fall. I hit my nose extremely hard and it bled all over the place. I fell actually on a brick mantle, and it was low lying, so maybe a foot and a half off the ground, and the bridge of my nose hit the corner of the bricks without really stopping myself, and I was running full tilt in one of the games. Whew. And it bled all over the place. It was not pleasant. And I was like, Mom, I need to go to the ER. I broke my nose. And the tissue was so swollen, you couldn't tell whether it was broken or not. And in some ways it was kind of like, it doesn't actually matter, just ice it and deal with the black eyes and you'll be fine. So maybe a week later, my second brother was on a skateboard and the skateboard rolled over the tip of his finger and it was incredibly painful. So he went to my mom and he was like, Mom, I broke my finger. I need help. So they went to the doctor and it wasn't broken. And then my sister had something happen to her and she was like, I know I've broken my foot or something. And so my mom took her to the doctor and it wasn't broken. And at this point, my mom was like, oh my goodness, we have a loving home, but at some point does CPS take note that there have been three separate incidents in 1 month from the same family? So when my littlest brother came in and said something like, I fell off my skateboard or whatever he had done, I'm sure I broke my arm. My mom was like, you did not break your arm. No. And so later that afternoon, she was like, you did not break your arm. Go get in the water and swim, because it was swim practice time. And so about a week later, Justin came back to my mom and was like, I'm really pretty sure my arm is not right. So they went to the doctor and the x-ray technician says, I'm like, oh, I don't even need to send the scans away. This is so obviously broken. And the way I think about it is that he just looked at it, not that he looked at the x-ray, he looked at the arm. So whether it was just a visual, I don't even need to take an x-ray, I don't know. But in any case, it was a very obvious break. And so my mom felt, of course, horrible, get in the water and swim. And so I've always just heard that as a very funny story, but with my newfound sense of horror over the grief that we feel when we don't understand correctly how to help our children, I deeply understand the shame that she felt. But what she said was, I don't often tell the part of the story where the x-ray or the doctor said, I do need to set this bone, but it's actually probably just as well that you waited a couple of days to come in, because the swelling has gone down enough that I can see clearly how to set it. And so that, for me, was the piece that I had been missing. The fact that sometimes it's actually okay to have a little pause. And I realized, oh right, part of the reason I suspect that the chiropractor didn't take a photo was because the clavicle was so swollen when we first went in. There was, in a normal person, your collarbone, you can see it. There's the skin around it. But when we looked at the difference between his left clavicle and his right clavicle, the left stood out like a normal person's and the right was kind of embedded where there was almost no definition from all the swelling and bruising. And so it did make the x-ray very visible, very clear. And so I was like, well, Lord, maybe that's part of it. Maybe there's good that comes that the muscle and ligament tear and overstretch that happened, that Abraham was able to still get mobility in that for those few days. But the reality is, it's just hopeful to say, The fact that I didn't press for that x-ray when I could have, that doesn't have to be the end of the world. And I was encouraged on Tuesday morning when, after a time of prayer, the doctor's office called and said, the doctors have maybe looked at the file, which I'm not actually sure if they could have, because I had the x-ray and the hospital didn't take an x-ray, but in any case, and the doctors are recommending an early Thursday appointment. So even from their perspective, it wasn't so desperate that they needed him to come in, you know, that moment. And so, Lord, for all of the places where, as parents and as loved ones, as people, we do the best we can, and then things don't work out quite the way we expect. And Lord, there's a part where I would just say, forgive us. I sometimes think it would be easier if we could be all-knowing, though I suspect that wouldn't actually be the case. But so thank you, Lord, for bearing the burdens of being the all-knowing one. Thank you for the healing that you offer. And Lord, I pray for the grace of the testimony, the grace in my life to be able to say, okay, this is not the end of the world. I can ask that there is good that would come of it. I can still ask that no surgery is required, that the delay did not cause further damage that would require additional measures. Lord, I pray for all the, I pray for the ability to be able to take what you have done in the past and say, Lord, do it again. And then, Lord, for all of us who are waiting for healing, we recognize that healing can come from doctors as well as from miraculous, instantaneous healing as a result of prayer. And so, Lord, we're asking for the grace to be able to pray into the healings that we want to see, and that we would have the faith to be able to see what might be helpful. So thank you, Lord. We love you. Amen.